yeah, that's right, he's a motherfucking G, yeah. Your first kid, round two, 3 years later, it's time to leave showbiz, gets a divorce now.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show with Dad's Point of View, and thank you, Arnie Salen, my son, who I just took back to college for that music. That was a Father's Day rap song that he did for me, and it really touched me. And every now and then your kids do those things that you go, oh, wow, that's why I had kids. And then every now and then they treat you like caca, which is what happened recently. And then you go, why the heck did I ever have kids? But that, of course, is the eternal dilemma of being a parent. You can follow me at Twitter, at Bruce Salen, or you can email me at Bruce@BruceSalen. It's time for a special guest today, Pam Whitlock, who with her husband Frank are the owners of MoneyTrail.net. an allowance and money management system for kids, teens, and families. Started in 2010, MoneyTrail enables kids and teens to practice money management skills. The Whitlocks have four children, ages 10 to 20, and have experienced firsthand the need for a financial literacy system that is designed for kids and teens. Well, welcome to my show, Pam.
Thank you for having me, Bruce. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm very grateful to have you, and I'm also very excited to have you on Dad Chat tonight, which I've already been promoting. I think we're going to have fun in both venues. This is Pam Whitlock Day. I think we should we should declare that a holiday.
That sounds fabulous. Yes. I get presents, right?
Yes, you definitely. Well, you will get adulation. I promise you at least you will get adulation. Financial literacy system. I just read that because that's on your bio, and I'm going, whoa, what the heck is that? I'm sort of assuming it means understanding how to work with money, but why don't you give us a definition?
Okay. What we do with MoneyTrail is, as a dad, when you're paying your kids' allowance or they're doing jobs for you, like washing the car, and you need to pay them, and if you're like me, you rarely have the right amount of cash. So, you tell your kids, I'll pay you that next week. Next week comes along, you don't have it, and before long, I would have no idea what I owed my kids or what my kids owed me. So what MoneyTrail does is it keeps track of those back-and-forth financial transactions, and in the process, it allows kids and teens to practice keeping track of their own money. Like our kids know that if they do a job for us, it's their responsibility to enter that into the system, to keep track of it.
You mean to invoice you?
Exactly. So we're keeping track of what we owe them.
Mom, you've got my invoice for doing the dishes. Okay, I expect immediate payment or I'm going to have to send on the debt collectors.
Yeah, debt collecting is it's an interesting thing around here sometimes.
Oh, that's funny. That is so funny. I'm going to throw something at you that I hadn't planned, but
okay.
But I know you're going to have thoughts about it, probably pro, but maybe you won't see it as a good thing. I raised my kids alone for many years, as I think I told you. And during one summer, I tried an allowance experiment. And the reason for this had to do with both boys at those ages. So this was like when they were 7 and 10, were avid readers.
Uh-huh.
Barnes & Noble was still going strong, and the local one was really a big hangout and a favorite place for our kids to go, or my kids to go, because their mom was largely gone that summer. And I would go there often with them and buy a book for them as a gift for no particular consequence reward, because I really loved that they were reading and they were into it. So I thought to teach them a little bit of money lessons, I would give them, and I don't remember the exact number, but I would give them for the summer something like $25 a month as what we called a book allowance.
Okay.
And they could spend it all at the beginning of the month, or they could save 2 months' worth and buy a really expensive book. And I thought it would teach them a little bit about money. And what happened is it had exactly that effect. My younger son at 7 years old was a little bit more of needed the immediate gratification. So he would buy a Berenstain's Bear book every single week or something
right.
like that. That was only about $5 or $6 or $7. He was clear enough that he didn't want to spend all 25. My older son did that in the beginning, but then he saw a book that he loved that was $39.95. And so he did some figuring. He pretty much had to not buy a book for 6 weeks to
right.
be able to afford it. And he did that. when his younger brother saw this really gorgeous picture book that cost $40 and looked at his cheap paper Berenstain Bears books, he learned a lesson. So I thought that was a great thing, and I've advocated it. What do you think of that as another allowance tool?
I think it's fabulous. I mean, what you did was you took real-life financial skills of budgeting, planning, prioritizing, and you brought it down to their level in a way that was relevant to them. And that's how you teach kids about anything, and especially about money. One of the things that we've done with our kids, especially when they hit middle school age, they go to the school cafeteria, and it's like a food court at the mall, and they can have all these different choices. Some are more expensive than others. And one of my sons would spend, you know, $7 or $8 a day on lunch. So what I had to do with him was sit down and say, this is your monthly lunch allowance. You can buy fabulous food for 1 week and take your lunch the rest of the month, or you can space it out. And we went over several options. Basically, he had an amount, and he had to choose how to make it work in a way that fit what he wanted to do.
How old was he at the time?
11, 12.
Okay, so he was definitely of age to understand the concepts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But then our younger son, when he was 8 or 9, he would want to save for Pokemon cards. And mm-hmm. he would, you know, find the cards that he wanted and see how much they cost and come up with a plan on how he was going to get to that. It was either saving his allowance for X number of weeks or using his allowance and doing extra jobs to get to that point. So it's all about taking, you know, those real-life financial skills that we do as an adult and making them available to kids in an appropriate way that's important to them.
Agreed. Now, I just gave you an example of where I thought I did a good job of parenting with the allowance. The bottom line, unfortunately, and by the way, most people don't even know what the bottom line, where that phrase comes from. I will ask you later. Do you know where that comes from? But you don't have to answer.
I have no idea.
Okay, good. Then I'll tell you later if you remind me.
Okay.
The bottom line, which I love that expression, is that my boys are not as financially savvy as I would have thought they'd be by the various lessons I have taught them, including the book allowance, the fact that they have always, for the last few years, been given a monthly allowance that they had to earn based on chores.
Right.
They would get deductions based on not doing certain chores. And we also gave them a clothing allowance for the year. It was like $50 or $60 or $70 a month because we figured out about how much they paid for their clothes or needed for their clothes. And that was their annual clothing budget. So
right.
They were starting to buy their own clothes. They did learn to stop with the name brands and to start buying at places like Target. And they did understand the difference between a $50 pair of jeans and a $20 pair of jeans might only be literally a name on the back. So there were some good lessons they learned. But I must say, I don't think I've done a great job. I still don't think as young adults at almost 17 and 20 that my boys really do have, I guess, what you would call financial literacy. So is this a problem that's just of our generation? What can we do? I mean, how do we really teach them to understand the value of a buck?
I certainly don't have all the answers. My kids have made as many mistakes with money as they've done good things, and I think they can learn as much from the mistakes as they can from their successes. One of the things that, and it doesn't sound like you did this, but that I think can cause kids to not learn this as they grow older is if the parents take the money that kids get from whatever resources and they tuck it away in the bank, you know, and they have to save all of it. If they're not actively making decisions and choices with their money and practicing that skill, they're not going to have that skill when they get to be an adult and are making those real life, you know, and choices with credit cards and cars and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing them to practice when they're young is crucial. Another thing that I think is real interesting, and I see this a lot in myself occasionally and in other adults, is that we see things we want to do that are fun or things that we want to buy, and we go ahead and do it, and then we try to figure out how to make the budget cover it after the fact. And what I think is real important is if we teach kids to reverse that. And you know your budget ahead of time. You know how much you have. You have in mind what you're wanting to do with it. And then the other stuff that comes along, you try to see if that'll work within your budget. You know, if you know you have $50, but you want to buy a purse and you want to go to the movies with your friends and you want to go to the football game on Friday night, $50 is not going to cover that. So you have to make those choices and get your lifestyle to fit within your budget.
Well, to that regard, is there any chance I could get you on the phone with my wife?
Sure, but I don't know if we'll talk about money. We'll probably talk about, you know, other mom things.
I was referring to the money thing. My wife is actually pretty good, but the ironic thing is that my overall topic today is about men and women and the differences in our interest in what I call bling and toys. And one of the things I talked about earlier is my wife really loves her designer handbag.
Right.
Handbags, I should say. And it's one of those things that most men just do not get at all. In the case of like Louis Vuitton, which is her bag of choice, a plastic bag with leather handles could possibly be worth $1,000 or $2,000. But it's taken me a long time to understand that that's just a gender difference. This is not about saving or extravagance, because my wife is kind of understands the big picture. But you know, I'll spend a lot of money buying a car every now and then, which is many times more than a handbag. And I will think, oh, well, that was totally worth it. I always buy a 2 or 3 year old car, so I never pay the new car, you know, extravagance. And I'm usually getting just as good a car at almost half the cost. But the difference in men and women and how they want to spend money is, I think we like the big things physically, and they like the little things. Women like jewelry. I mean, my wife likes diamonds, and a very small object like a diamond can cost every bit as much as money as a car.
Right.
There are so many other questions I want to ask you. Is there any chance you can hang on and do another segment with me?
Absolutely.
Okay, are we done with this segment, Richard? Okay, we're going to go to break, and you can ask me what the bottom line is afterwards, and I really should have a contest with callers, but I don't have time to do that. So stay tuned for more about money, allowance, and our kids with Pam Whitlock after these messages.
Let me tell you a little story about a dude I know. His name is Bruce Allen. He used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA. Produced his first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score. Vice President of ABC.